This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, I think the biggest thing right now with Ryan, you know, he's kind of trying to feel things out and get a feel for what he wants to do. So he's asked about shadowing the coaches, and you know, it's been kind of interesting because you know both Sweat and Chase just gravitate to him, and you know, they spend a lot of time talking. They really do. It's kind of good to watch, you know, somebody who's got a tremendous amount of knowledge, vast experience like his. I think it's been good to have him around and be around our guys.
Head coach Ron Rivera on Ryan Kerrigan shortly after he began shadowing defensive line coaches. The defensive line coach was fired. Makes you start to think, well, maybe, just maybe, he'll be added to the staff. But Rivera has been noncommittal in that regard. By the way, children listening, if something seems too good to be true, it is. It's important to learn this, I think, at a young age. If you feel like your dreams are coming true, well, double check. Because Chick-fil-A is not testing their bone-in wings, as I said earlier today that they were. Upon further review, a viral video is wrong, and there was confusion about this. A lot of us had been claiming victory, very excited about the best fast food establishment in the game, Chick-fil-A, adding bone-in chicken wings, fried, to the menu that you could then get takeout through the drive-thru lane. Turns out that's not the case based on this story I'm reading on Alabama.com. There's this like partner with Chick-fil-A called Little Blue Menu, which is owned and operated by Chick-fil-A, that is doing this, that the video was based off of. And the bottom line is, at least based on what I'm seeing, there's no plans on chicken wings out the window for Chick-fil-A. So leave it to social media to just get our hopes up one more time. What have you done for me lately, social media?
Oh, no.
All right, let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. Ben Standing of The Athletic joins me. Benjamin, where does Chick-fil-A rank on your fast food pantheon?
You know what I got to say? I think it's currently the one seed. McDonald's was historically the childhood one, but, you know, I feel like that's hit the, needs to retire kind of standpoint or need to get to the gym, upgrade. Chick-fil-A, like, if I'm in the mood and I see one, that's where we're going.
Chick-fil-A, I would say, might be my number one as well. I mean, McDonald's is still my most frequented, and you can't go wrong with McDonald's. The fries are incredible. Give me a quarter pounder with cheese every time. Chicken nuggets are a 10 out of 10. Chocolate chip cookies are always great. They've got the best Coca-Cola out of the fountain in the game. So it's very, very good. But Chick-fil-A, man, it just continues to grow on me. I just have such pleasant experiences. You know, the drive-thru, they've got someone standing out there under an umbrella, like taking the order. It just seems like they've thought of all the things that would make fast food more efficient, and they're implementing them, and everyone else just kind of still doing it how they did it 20 years ago.
If the country ran like Chick-fil-A, I think the approval ratings for everybody would be like 90%.
Yeah, it's just efficient. It really is. All right, we could talk more fast food anytime you want to, but let's talk about preseason football. So 2 days from now, we're playing a day game at FedEx, 1 o'clock kick on Saturday. Are you with me that you're out on day game preseason football, or are you liking this idea?
Well, if I was a strict strict consumer, I would not be a fan of Saturday at 1. As somebody who has to work it, and thus I will be done hypothetically by like 5 or 6 instead of midnight, I'm a fan. But, yeah, if we're just talking as a consumer, I'm not a fan of the 1 o'clock Saturday.
So it sounds like 15 to 20 plays for Wentz. I mean, 2 good drives, maybe 3 drives, a quarter, something like that. Does that feel about right? You think Rivera sticks to that plan?
I would think so. I mean, he wants to see them do something, but, you know, the risk of injury at some point is going to freak him out, I would imagine. So, you know, he mentioned today, you know, hopefully they can be in some, you know, some short yardage situations, some third down. And, you know, he said, he mentioned specifically an 8-9 play drive would be great. You know, if they go out in the first drive and are efficient, move the ball down the field, that could be it. So they just need to see something, you know, something efficient enough, and, you know, then they're out. So, yeah, I would be stunned if he, you know, more than 2 series. But, you know, if they're back-to-back 3 and outs or something, then I guess they'd probably stay.
Ben Standing of The Athletic. You know, I heard that comment about the situational football he wanted him to find himself in. And my point on that is always that joint practices allow you to dictate that. You could theoretically go through the entire preseason without Wentz getting a goal line opportunity or a 2-minute or red zone. And if you do a joint practice with another team, you guarantee yourself any of those situations in the exact same setting, the only difference being that maybe the game's not televised or that there aren't as many people watching in the stands, which is why I don't really get why they didn't do a joint practice. How hard did they work at trying to make that happen? Do you know?
I mean, I know there was the rumors about the Bills before the J.D. McKissick thing went down.
Yeah, before the Bills hated their guts and will never talk to them again.
Right. I mean, I don't know why. I didn't really pay attention to see if the Bills actually did one on their own, regardless, or how close that was. But I believe there was some conversation. But beyond that, you know, I think they were up in the air about, are they doing Richmond, or are they going back here, and then if they're going to be back here, is that enough space, and, you know, all stuff. So, but yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I think joint practices seem like a pretty efficient way to go. You know, you're always, I guess, a little nervous about tempers flaring after 2 or 3 days facing the same opponent. But whatever, that aside, it always seems like a good way to go for me. But, yeah, it didn't happen.
This isn't disrespectful to Heinicke at all, but we kind of know what he is. I don't need to see much out of him as a QB2. I am excited to see Sam Howell, and I say that, and I know you probably roll your eyes on the other side of the phone, because he's playing against third stringers with third stringers. What will we really learn? But it will be our first look-see of game Sam Howell, which is different than practice Sam Howell, obviously.
Yeah, I'm definitely not rolling my eyes. I'm excited to see him, too. I mean, I like Sam Howell, you know, his the previous year at Carolina. Obviously, last year, things, you know, tailed off for him for a variety of reasons. But I'm intrigued by him. I you know, I'm not saying he's going to be a long-term NFL starter or anything like that, but, you know, he's got a really good arm. You know, he's got the same height issues that Heinicke has, so, you know, that's a problem. But, you know, to me, like, if you factor in, we were talking about this the other day out of practice, if you're factoring in everything, like, they're going, you know, who's going up against the starters, who's going up against the third strings, factoring in a starting quarterback versus a fifth-round rookie, all these things, I think Howell, like, on a pound-for-pound basis, has been the most consistent quarterback out there, which, again, it may be very different if he's facing Montez Sweat and Kendall Fuller, but, you know, I think he's looked pretty decent. You know, again, long way to go in terms of him being a viable NFL quarterback, but to your point, yeah, I want to see him in a game situation because, you know, he's got the arm, he's shown poise in the pocket. I don't think he gets flustered, so, yeah, let's see what he can do.
Do we know which tight ends are going to play on Saturday?
we don't at all. When you consider that Samus Reyes, I think he did some work in the position drills, but I don't know how much he did, if at all, in the team drills. But he had a wrap on his hamstring. There are, if you include Logan Thomas, I think that's 4 tight ends who could be out and 3 active. And the 3 who would be active are 2 undrafted free agents and a guy they just picked up off the street this week. So unless Samus Reyes goes, because I don't imagine John Bates or Cole Turner play, then, yeah, I mean, we're talking that Samus Reyes is easily the most experienced guy, and then a bunch of randos behind him. So, yeah, not a deep group. I will say I'll be curious to see Curtis Hodges and Armani Rogers play, because they both have had stretches in camp where they've been a fun, you know, watch as like a project. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. But yeah, both of those guys could be absolutely playing with the first team on Saturday.
That's actually a super competitive and I think a well-built area of the roster at this point. If you're saying that those guys have even flashed a little bit, because they're probably vying for practice squad opportunities as the year goes on in Washington or elsewhere, because they're pretty loaded. I mean, assuming Logan Thomas gets back to toward 100% and active, you've got him and Bates, who they drafted in the fourth round last year. And I love Turner. I mean, I just think his game is what the league is all about now. Are there any lingering concerns about Bates or Turner's health in terms of the regular season, or is this just kind of dings that they've got to get over here in August?
Yeah, I mean, I assume dings to get over in August. You know, Rivera's not exactly giving us too much information on injuries, for sure. I mean, I think the one thing I wonder about with Turner is you look at his body. You know, he's a tall guy, but he's pretty lanky. And the injury, the hamstring injury he occurred, that he endured, I believe happened, he got hit on a play in practice last week, sort of got tackled, you know, not really that kind of hitting goes on. And then he went to the sideline right after that and hasn't been back since. So I will be curious to see, like, how does he handle, you know, taking blows over the course of a season. He's also not the world's best blocker. So, you know, that's sort of my one wonder about him so far is just, how does he hold up over the course of a season? But right now I'm not like panicking about it, but that's sort of my wonder now that he is a bit dinged up.
Let's take McLaurin because we know that he's really good, and Dotson because everyone's excited to see a rookie first round pick all the time out of the equation. I'd imagine Curtis Samuel is the headliner of the things you're looking forward to Saturday for at wide receiver.
For sure. I mean, he's going to play, according to Ron Rivera. We'll see how much he plays. But, you know, it's funny because considering he basically didn't play last year, and now that they have De'Ami Brown there, it's almost like wondering, like, well, how will they actually even use Curtis Samuel? Like, he's not, I've always viewed him as more of a playmaker than a pure receiver. So in what capacity do they use him, for sure? I think De'Ami Brown, this is a good opportunity for him. He had a really nice contested catch today. He's had a couple of those in camp, but you know, I wouldn't say he's closed the gap between him and the top three in terms of playing time. And you know, I think what I mentioned before, that those two young tight ends have had some good days in camp. There's a lot of young receivers who've had those as well. I think it's maybe, I have to remind myself sometimes that it's much easier for the pass catchers to make plays than it is for the defense, who doesn't have the luxury of like laying people out, you know, but they don't have that intimidation factor. So there have been a bunch of receivers that have looked good, Kelvin Harmon, Mark and Michelle, among others. So it's an interesting group, but in terms of the main guys, I want to see also De'Ami Brown step up, Cam Sims as well, because they're going to need those guys at some point this year.
Yeah, De'Ami, I'm still fascinated by. He had a really, really good college career at North Carolina, and I've kind of been comping him in this offense to an Aldrick Robinson deep threat. Maybe they could take the lid off. Has he done anything to show that he could be that dude? I mean, you said a couple contested catches, but largely he's kind of distant toward the back of the depth chart. Is there any reason to believe that there's a breakout coming?
I don't know. I mean, I guess the problem is, like you mentioned, Dotson, right? Like, all eyes are on him. He's the new kid, and you know, there's a lot of reason to be excited about what he can potentially do. Then with McLaurin and Samuel, then you factor in the three running backs. Logan Thomas at some point comes back. You mentioned Cole Turner. Like, it starts getting tight on how many, you know, receptions for anybody else exist out there. Now, of course, we'll have to see about Curtis Samuel's availability over the course of the year, and that's where I think a guy like De'Ami comes in. So, I think for me, the question is just more opportunity than whether he has the goods to be a breakout. Like you, I really liked him when they drafted him. I liked him last year. It just didn't work out, of course. And I just feel like there's a pretty clear gap between the top three and him, and that's why I just don't know about his playing time. Plus, he's the same height as those first three guys, so it's not a real variance there. Whereas Cam Sims at 6'5" gives you that red zone target. So you know, De'Ami might be the fifth guy, depending on the circumstances, more often than not. And that's where it's hard to say, like, he's poised for a potential breakout.
Ben Standing of The Athletic here on Grant and Danny as he puts the finishing touches on phase one here of his training camp coverage to get ready to get over to FedEx Field on Saturday for preseason game number one. So on a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 is insanity and 1 is, yeah, I totally agree with you, I guess. My bold prediction earlier today, I did 3 bold predictions. So you're grading on a scale for I'm admitting this is unlikely, but I think it could happen. I got Brian Robinson leading the team in rushing this year. How crazy is that?
I don't think it's that crazy. I mean, look, Antonio Gibson's obviously had the injuries. So there's that. They drafted Brian Robinson for a reason. I mean, the big wonder with the backfield is how are they going to split the workload between these three guys? I just feel like Robinson has a specific role. He's the guy that they get leads. They want to, you know, sort of run him up the middle, hammer, you know, be the hammer. But he's not like some big, massive Derrick Henry guy. But, you know, he's clearly shown the ability in college to do that. And I think he's looked pretty good so far. So I think he's got a role. Now, I mean, obviously Gibson, I would still imagine, is the leader with touches. So, you know, if you had to just bet it, I would take Gibson. But I don't think it's out of question at all, especially when you factor in the durability concerns for Gibson and Robinson at Alabama was able to stay upright. So, yeah, I don't think it's that crazy.
All right, let's hit on some things on defense real quick. Fidarian Mathis, it's been really quiet to me on Mathis in terms of coverage. Maybe that's just because of the position he plays and how camp works, but what have you seen from him so far?
I think it's kind of what you said, the position he plays and how camp works. Like, when we're watching from the sideline, you know, it's really kind of hard to see some of the guys in the interior part of the line go at it, especially just sort of, you know, when we were in Richmond, you could stand up on a hill and sort of look down on the play. Here, we're even with it. You know, I talked to, ironically, Sam Mills before he got let go last week. And you know, he was saying he's you know, liking what Fidarian is doing. And I brought up the point of, for a guy that's considered to be more of a run stuffer, is it going to be the games where we start to see, you know, his full – get a better feel for him? And he kind of agreed. I mean, he thinks that there's more than just he's not just a one-dimensional player, that they saw pass rushing skills at Alabama. So, yeah, I would agree. I think it's been a quiet camp, which isn't to say that's a fair depiction, but, you know, it's not like Rivera's bringing up a ton either. So, yeah, I think it's been a little quiet, but I wouldn't say that's an indication of concern. It's just more of, like you said, the position. It's not like they're not really running the ball in a real way at camp, so you know, I think his skill set will have a better shine in the games.
Does Jamin Davis look noticeably different or better than a year ago?
I think he seems a lot more confident. You know, part of that is like when he's coming to us to talk. Like he seemed like last year he seemed like, you know, more shy about the situation. Now he's, you know, a little more upright, a little more bold with what he's saying. I feel like his play, like when I've noticed, like he's been closer to the line of scrimmage, attacking the line, he seems to be pretty assertive there. I am curious in terms of these preseason games, what does he look like in coverage? Again, the notion of play action isn't a real thing in camp because the run game is not a real thing. So I will be curious to see what kind of what he shows in that regard. So yeah, I mean, I like if you said to me, what's the number one thing I want to see on defense? That's probably it. I want to see what he looks like for however long he's out there in the settings, especially in pass coverage.
All right, then how about the secondary? Like, what would be your lead there for Saturday's game that you think, and you're not making major declarations, but is worth noting?
Well, I mean, I think in terms of the guys that are going to be around, it's going to be fun to see Percy Butler and Derek Forrest. I think these guys are itching to hit somebody. They both have been, they're both pretty aggressive. Obviously they got to pull up a bit in camp. So I think they're really ready to go. And that's a fun battle. They're not necessarily competing head to head, but it does feel like one of them will be the third guy. And then that would probably mean the leader as far as the Buffalo nickel, whenever they go to that situation. But I also think the cornerback depth is to me a question once you get past Kendall Fuller and William Jackson, who I guess doesn't play because he's been a little dinged with a hamstring, but we'll see about that. You know, Benjamin St. Juice has basically been the third guy and Danny Johnson the fourth, but, you know, I it's not like those are, proven guys completely. And then after that, it's a lot of randoms. Your Christian Holmes is your Corn Elders. you know, let's see what they do. If you told me they add another cornerback before the season starts, it wouldn't stun me. But this is where these reserves get a real shot to show what they can do. And, you know, they've done some good things in camp, but, you know, let's see what happens now in a real game.
Nice deep dive, in-depth breakdown of what you're looking at on the roster come Saturday afternoon with Ben Standig. We'll end it here. If we're all talking about the preseason sensation, there's always that one guy, your Marco Mitchell, your Sutan McCullough, and then your Nehemiah Broughton. Who is going to be the guy at the end of the preseason, whether they make the team or they don't, that everyone will have fallen in love with?
Who was the second guy you said? McCullough?
Sutan McCullough.
I don't remember this one. What was that?
Running back, USC. I want to say it was during Spurrier's time. He led the NFL in rushing in a preseason. He ripped off a bunch of big runs.
Oh, all right. I must have that information must have seeped out of my brain.
It's a deep cut.
I would say Mark and Mitchell feels like that guy. One, he's been sort of that guy in some other stops, and he just keeps making plays after plays in camp. Like, nobody's keeping stats, of course, but, like, I would say he's a leader in receptions and yards. And, you know, when you get that second half, when he's in there, you know, he's 29. He's an older guy, but he's just been on the fringe all the time. So I think when he gets in there in the second half against guys who are, you know, going to be cut probably, I think he's going to look pretty good. So I that would be my guess in terms of that sort of preseason hero type.
So apparently, by the way, looking at this now, Sutan McCullough had one NFL carry, and he ran for 9 yards in a real game for the Redskins in 2003. So how do you get one carry for 9 yards and you never get to run again?
It's a great question, although, I mean, you know, you got to be way up there in the yards per carry all the time, so that's right. Something.
He's got that going for himself. Hey, great information. I appreciate you stopping by, and I will see you out at FedEx on Saturday.
All right, I'm going to ponder if McDonald's or Chick-fil-A now, so thanks for that.
Chick-fil-A is always the answer. Although, you know what? You do McDonald's, you'll probably see me there if you go there enough. Thank you, buddy.
See you, man.
Ben Standig of The Athletic. Go read his work. Really good information from him. Stretch run here. We got Linnell coming up with overtime. Tomorrow, Soto's back. I'm going to spend a good portion of the show talking about the Juan Soto, Josh Bell return. We'll also buckle up and get ready for the Commanders in preseason game one against Carolina. They're a fun team, frankly, to play in the preseason because they've got a quarterback battle going on. I think it's a quarterback battle that was probably over before it started. They traded for Baker Mayfield, and regardless of what they're going to tell you, he's going to be the guy. But they're at least going to pretend in the meantime, like Sam Darnold's got a decent shot, I would imagine. So as far as preseason intrigue goes, I think that's a fun matchup, and we will discuss, among other things, what the vibes are going to be like out at FedEx Field for the first of three preseason games this August. If you guys missed any part of the show today, you can go to thefandc.com or grantanddanny.com/audio. Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus's bold predictions for the NFC East. Really, really good. Of course, you just heard from Ben Standig. We had a great Beltway Blitz today as well. And Anthony Gwynn Jr. was in studio. He is in town because he's with Padres Radio getting ready for the series. It was cool to chat with him about how Soto's Padres tenure has begun. All right, Linnell's got overtime coming your way next. For Darris and Ryan, I'm Grant saying so long. Really appreciate everybody listening. We're back at it tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Keep it here on The Fan. We are live and local deep into the evening.
Thank you for coming.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.